This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Lake Erie is dead. The Cuyahoga River is on fire. Those were actual headlines in the late 1960s. They showcased the deteriorating conditions of the Great Lakes. It was an era where rampant pollution was the norm. It was accepted. Stories like these led to the passing of the Clean Water Act of 1972, which helped restore the Great Lakes. Last year's bacterial bloom in Lake Erie and that green water coming out of taps in Toledo shows there's still much to be done. A new report says not enough's being done to clean up chemicals and toxins in the Great Lakes. Faye DeLeon is a researcher with the Canadian Environmental Law Association. That's the group that released the report, and she's with us now from Toronto. Faye, in a nutshell, what is in your report?
In short, our organization had been involved in implementing the Great Lakes Water Quality Act, and in the work that we do on chemicals management, what we're finding is that the work of the U.S. and the Canadian government is slow to react to the chemical threats that we're seeing in the Great Lakes, and certainly there is no path forward in terms of taking action immediately to deal with those threats.
And what are the threats? What are the particular chemicals and toxins that really, really concern you?
Well, one of the things that we already know is a problem is industrial releases of chemicals into the Great Lakes ecosystem. But in the last 15 years, what we're seeing is that the chemicals that we're detecting in the Great Lakes are actually maybe originating from other types of products, consumer products, pharmaceuticals, that sort of speak. So, and traditionally, that work was not covered under the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement and certainly needs to be addressed.
And so take us a little deeper into the kinds of things you're talking about.
Some of the chemicals that we knew that was a problem were things like PCBs and mercury, and they certainly are still a problem within the context of the Great Lakes. We haven't done enough to deal with those chemicals. The new chemicals that we're seeing that's quite evident and has been a focus of both government has been chemicals like bisphenol A, BPA, that's known to be used in a whole host of products made out of plastic. Flame retardants that has notoriously been focused on by other jurisdictions, and other chemicals like perfluorinated chemicals that are used for coatings on pans and coats as grease resistant. So a lot of these chemicals do come from consumer products, and our wastewater treatment plants are not designed to deal with these threats in its current state.
And just as recently as 2012, the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement between Canada and the United States was amended. It was supposedly strengthened. Should this agreement not address the issue of all kinds of these toxins and pollutants?
I guess originally, I mean, that's the intent of the agreement, and the recommitment by the government to restore and protect the Great Lakes was a good start. And we saw a huge change in recognizing that there are other threats to the Great Lakes, like invasive species and climate change, and they have to be accommodated. But on the issue around toxic chemicals, and you've noted in your opening statement, the issue around things like nutrient loading and toxic chemicals have been known for many years, and certainly we haven't had a good handle on those issues. I think the agreement is still slow to react to those threats, and the issue around prevention doesn't seem to be sort of the foundational perspective that the government's taking on these threats.
The Great Lakes Agreement Executive Committee will be meeting in Chicago. What do you hope they will do, or what kind of alarm do you want to put right in front of their noses?
Well, first and foremost, we want to make sure that the government knows that community groups around the Great Lakes, U.S. and Canada, are watching their progress, and we're calling them to take a more preventative action and approach when we talk about pollution to the Great Lakes, and that we want that to happen sooner than later. And that, you know, sometimes we can't wait for the studies to come out, but we have to react with what information we have available now.
Faye, what do you think is the most important, crucial legislative action that could be taken on either side of the U.S.-Canadian border?
I think there has to be a much more focused attention to banning a lot of these chemicals that are being found in the Great Lakes and looking for alternatives to those chemicals.
So instead of trying to deal with them and minimize amounts, you're saying let's do something to stop it from getting into the water in the first place.
Exactly. We want to move away from a reactionary approach to one that's preventative.
What about individuals, people concerned about the Great Lakes? What are the most important steps that people can take?
I think it's critically important that they need to know that consumer products that they may be using in their daily lives may be contributing to the impacts to the Great Lakes. Having said that, it's very difficult, and the onus should not only be on consumers to do the right thing. They can make choices in terms of purchasing, but ultimately the responsibility has to be to industries responsible for these chemicals as well as the government to put in the right regulations in place.
Do you believe the political will is there on either the U.S. or Canadian side to really do this?
At the moment, with respect to the Great Lakes, it's not that reflective just yet.
And if we don't act on the warnings that you offer up in this report?
You'll see a slow death of the Great Lakes. I think the future of the Great Lakes will be really under siege from these chemicals. I mean, they already are.
Yeah.
There's so many. How could we keep up? We just don't have the science to keep up with the information that we need to make that determination.
Faye DeLeon is a researcher with the Toronto-based Canadian Environmental Law Association. It was great to talk with you, Faye. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy.
And if you miss Stateside on the radio, you can catch us on iTunes. Just search for Stateside with Cynthia Canty. And while you're there, please give us a review. We want to know what you think.